Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The film Zero Dark Thirty has been called, quote, grossly inaccurate by members of the United States Senate, individuals that were a part of the Intelligence Committee of the United States Senate. They feel that the film Zero Dark Thirty, the new Catherine Bigelow movie, which is a depiction of the events leading up to and taking place in the assassination in the killing of Osama bin Laden, they're saying that torture did not play a role in getting information as to locating bin Laden. But I don't know whether what that means. You know,
well, it means that the information. What do you mean you don't know what it means?
I mean, in other words, did torture not extract information? Well, we know that, yes, it did. Did torture extract information that led to the killing of bin Laden? According to these senators, no, it did not. And even according to the screenwriter, this guy Mark Boal, I think.
B-O-A-L, Boal. Boal.
Yeah, that's the French.
Oh, that's the French, huh?
Well, Phil, you don't know how to pronounce his name, do you?
No, but I dare say I'm afraid of turning it over to you for what it's going to turn into. How do I know I'm not going to hear tomorrow the guy's name is Boal?
B-O-A-L, Boal. It would be B-O-W-L. Wow.
Yeah, that's how you spell Boal. What an idiot.
Don't call me an idiot. When it comes to names, it may sound like Boal and not be Boal.
What about B-O-W-E-L?
That's Bowel. That's Bowel.
Don't go down that road, Bowel, Robert. We're going to have to hear about Margaret's.
Oh, my God, you really, you know what's wrong with you, Phil? The fact is that real life and just the natural bodily functions scare you. My God, I'd hate to see what you're like in bed.
Yeah, well, you know what? Good thing you'll never find out.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think it means that he'd rather cut it off, he'd rather self-mutilate than...
Why, you filthy...
Hey, no more slugging, I told you.
I don't care, I can take it.
Really?
Yeah! That stung.
Well, you said you wanted it.
Woo! Oh, man, I feel that. I'm going to feel that tomorrow.
All right. So anyway, this film is under attack by these guys in the United States Senate saying, you know, torture didn't lead to information that led to bin Laden. Now, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded, and we know that we got information from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed somehow. I don't know whether they sat down and had tea with him or they offered him a tipperillo or whatever the hell they did. But that guy gave it up big time. We know this because as soon as they got his fat ass into custody, all kinds of dominoes started to fall. We'll see. I will say this. If it's a bad way of getting information, it's a bad way of getting information. And that's all there is to it. But I'll tell you this. My personal opinion is as follows. If they're not POWs, and that is a very specifically defined individual, a prisoner of war must be at least a uniformed soldier, part of a unit with a command structure, and they are marching under a specific entity's flag, and that's all articulated in the Geneva Conventions. Whether or not you're a signatory to the Geneva Conventions, I don't think should matter. I think if at least you're making the effort to present yourself as a soldier in uniform, marching in any kind of unit or a part of any kind of unit with a command structure and a flag of allegiance to some country or entity, then you should be treated as a POW. I don't see any reason why you shouldn't, even if you're not a signatory to the conventions. Now, if you are not a signatory to the conventions, and on top of everything else, you are waging an armed battle or armed attacks against a country that is, and you have no uniform, you have no real allegiance to any country, you certainly have no allegiance to any entity that is within the bounds of law. Al-Qaeda, a criminal organization with individuals at the leadership level under indictment for murder. Osama bin Laden's ass was indicted by the FBI before 9/11. And these guys should be treated like POWs? Sorry.
Oh, so you're saying they ought to be tortured?
I didn't say that. I'm just telling you, they don't get the tree. I'm sorry. And, you know, there's a lot of people who want this to be Disneyland. Well, you know, it's only right. What do you mean it's only right? What does that mean, it's only right? Does it mean it's only right that I treat a piece of garbage like that really well so that other people are getting killed because this guy is, you know, folks, acting like Pollyanna is not necessarily fantastic. Pollyanna, in some instances, is worse than Hitler, man. In fact, I'd rather sit down and have a cigar and look at the view there from the Berchtesgaden with Hitler than have anything to do with a little girl with pigtails and knee socks. Thank you.
Yeah! Yeah!
Oh, you'd say something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that was perfect, Mr. Henry. Agree with everything he said.
You'd say something like that, wouldn't you? Just to sort of stir people up. To stir up a platehead like this.
Don't call him a platehead.
I'd rather be a platehead than have butt implants. And
I don't have... Well, you lousy crawling...
Hey, don't reach over me to try to hit him.
I don't have butt implants. Say it.
You don't have butt implants?
But!
She does... How do I know you don't have butt implants?
Then get my husband, please.
No, do not do that.
Get my husband on the phone.
Margaret, I'm willing to believe you don't have butt implants. Can we just please move on without having to get Frank in here? It's going to turn into a cluster you-know-what.
Then you do acknowledge that you do believe that I don't have butt implants.
Yes, I do.
But you're only saying that.
No, I'm not only saying that. Shut up, bud.
Well, I mean, if you waterboarded me and then I said, yes, she does have butt implant, then what would you say about waterboarding?
Then I'd say that it's inaccurate, that it only gets out lies. Then it would prove my point.
What do you mean if you're waterboarded?
If I got waterboarded and they go, does Margaret Gray have butt implants? Does she or does she not? Blah, 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 you know, and they're... How do they do it?
Yeah, they pour the water on your face, man, like you're going to drown.
Yeah, and I go, yes, she does. She has butt implants. You're trying to tell me that I'd lie on account of the waterboard.
No, you'd be telling the truth.
But I'd think it was the truth that she has butt implants. And I'd say, no, she...
You're an idiot. You know that? You're just an idiot, man. You're just an idiot, that's all. There's nothing wrong with you other than the fact that you're a lazy thinker and you're stupid. Okay. And you want to just cause problems where problems don't exist.
Well.
Yeah, well, nothing. Keep your yap shut. If they waterboarded me. All right, so on we move. So anyway, we're going to talk about that this hour, among other things. Now, I wanted to let you guys know, speaking of mind control and all this other nonsense, I had a nutty experience today. And... I'll tell you something. You guys know that I've dropped 80 pounds. Yeah. Okay, great. I don't want to bore you. By the way, I had a dream last night that I stepped on a scale and I was 198 pounds. And the dream was so real, I thought, wow, how did I lose all like that? So.
Well, it might be telling the future.
Well, it is telling the future because I am going to hit 200. But here's the thing that happened. I woke up this evening. Now, right now, ladies and gentlemen, as I speak to you, it's 11:50. It's close to 11:15 Pacific, so it's 2:15 in the morning on the East Coast. I woke up earlier this evening on the evening of Tuesday. Wednesday, at 7:15. When I got out of bed, I noticed it was dark. And,
Bobby Dye, zero dark 30.
Would you be quiet? Zero Dark 30?
Yeah, that's the name of the movie that you're talking about.
Fine. It was 7:15 and it was dark outside, and I noticed that it was dark outside, and I thought, boy, it sure is dark for 7:15 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I had slept through this entire day today thinking that I was getting up and it was bright and early on a Thursday morning, tomorrow morning, and in point of fact, it was this evening. I'd slept through the whole day. Now, what happened, and the reason why this is significant, is the following thing. You know, I run on a lot of nervous energy. I have insomnia, but also the last the last several months have been packed with all kinds of things. And then on top of that, you have the usual business of the day. And so I've been running on all this energy. And when the holidays hit and I hit my weight of 210 pounds, I said, okay, I'm going to relax off this diet and have the one thing that I've been missing for the last seven months, I'm going to eat me some candy.
You wanted all that chocolate.
I'm a huge chocolate fan. Hershey's, all that jazz, man. Reese's.
Yeah, you sat on a Reese's peanut butter.
That's right, bud. That's what I said. So I did that at Halloween. I did that on Thanksgiving. And I did it a little bit this past weekend. Now, the introduction of that much sugar into a system that has been running on just real lean material, man. I mean, I've had low-cal meat and vegetables and fruit and protein powder. And, dude, that's what I've been living on, you know, for all of these months since March. To all of a sudden introduce all that sugar, it just sends a biochemical shock through the system that's insane. Not only does the sugar do that, but then getting off of it, weaning yourself away from it, which I did in the weeks after Thanksgiving leading up the weeks after Halloween leading up to Thanksgiving. And so I was kind of on this bungee cord of, you know, extremes. And I'm theorizing now, but when I went to bed last night, and I usually hit the sack about 4 a.m., I thought, okay, I'm going to get up because I have to do this and this. We have a podcast to do. We have the Milwaukee Lion game and this and that and mail and email. And I've got some financials I have to take care of because it's coming up on the end of the year. I wake up at 7:15 having blasted through all of that.
And you didn't even know where you were.
I knew where I was.
But you didn't know what day it was.
I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know what time it was. I thought it was the morning. It was dark. And, of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, I know what it is. It's fog, man, because we're down at the El Pacifico. There must be fog that's blocking out the sun. Sure. What was I thinking, man? Fog, no fog made blacks out the sun like that.
Unless it was, what? You must have thought it was the Mayan thing.
No, I never thought one time about the Mayans. Not once did I think it was the end of the world. Not once, which shows you what a logical and sober individual I am.
Well, God help you if it does happen.
God help me if it does happen. Oh, today's the 20th, right?
Yes, and tomorrow is the 21st. At midnight, Phil.
Oh, would you shut up? It's already the 21st back east. Have you been hearing anything?
No, and maybe that's significant.
We'll call up some of your people back east to make sure it's still there. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll continue with this, minus the Mayan doomsday stuff. I'd totally forgotten about the Mayan doomsday thing. Maybe that was my own personal version. Yeah, you had like a Mayan moment, you know. Yeah, I had a Mayan moment. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, this is Don Berman. I'm feeling much better. I think...
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Here with me, Robert Dickman, Bud Dickman, rather.
I'm Robert Leonard.
Robert Leonard, yes, and Bud Dickman and Margaret Gray. Now, I was telling you about my Mayan moment, you know, so I wake up and it's today. And that's, you know, it happens to us. It generally happens to us when we're just breaking our ass. We're burning a candle at both ends, whatever you want to say. Or in my instance, it wasn't so much all this work that I was doing. It was the fact that I was really jacking my sleep cycle up with all that damn candy, you know.
Well, I mean, are you a believer then in the holistic way of Dean Wheeler?
I am not a believer in Dean Wheeler's holistic way. No, I am not, because I believe that Dean is a little cuckoo, especially since his wife started that singing career.
Well, forget about his wife's the singing. That's not going to go anywhere. I'm talking about Dean Wheeler and the fact that he has his holistic...
Yeah, as the holistic center. I think some of that stuff is absolutely right on. I do. I believe that the body and so forth, I think all of that is extremely important, that the body is a biochemical minefield in a lot of ways. Everybody's different. We're all different. Some of us can drink. Some of us can't. If that isn't an example of what is different, I don't know what is. Why is it, for instance, I was talking to Dan about this, I can drink tequila. And there are people that drink tequila and they turn into raving lunatics, but they're not necessarily alcoholics.
What are you talking about?
I'll say it again.
I know what you mean. They drink and then they turn into wild Indians and everything.
Not about Indian, you dumbass.
Yeah, it is. They're called dipsomaniacs.
Now, hold on for a minute, will you? Dipsomaniacs. Native people are biochemically different in many ways from Europeans, Native American, North American natives, what do you want to call the our Indian tribes, Indian people. They are biochemically different because of diet, because of environment. There's all kinds of things that shape the human response and physiology to different things. Europeans, for our part, there are things that we cannot tolerate. When I say us, I mean people of European descent.
But Bud, what is he? What descent are you, man?
I'm descended from what do you mean, what am I descended from?
We were asking, what group of primates?
What's that?
Never mind, okay?
Monkey, man.
Monkey? You're racist.
Oh, would you shut up with the racism? I'm going to start batting some people around here.
I'm white, and you're white.
So he can't be a member of the primate family, right?
Well, of course not.
Ha, ha, ha. I know one guy that's a member of the primate family. Hey, get...
I'm going to kick ass here in a minute.
I'll kill you, man. You know I will. You know I'll kill you.
Yeah? You're going to have to marshal a 1st Division of the United States Marine Corps to do it.
I don't know. I don't need no Marine Corps. You need a Marine Corps.
Easy. You two guys, I happen to know you guys are friends, and for you to keep baiting him racially like that...
Everybody's baiting me racially. They said I was a primate.
All right, because you're the guy that starts a lot of this stuff. Why you do that, I understand. You got a black girlfriend, Vivianne. You're going to get married, right?
Yeah.
Why? What is wrong with you, man? Do you talk to her like that?
No.
Why not?
Because she'd rip it off. She'd rip it off and mail it to his mother. That's why.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Do you talk to her family like that?
Of course not.
Well, then what is wrong with you, you idiot? When are you getting married?
We're getting married in June. And I ask everybody to be there.
Well, I may not be there.
Why not?
Because I may not want to be at a wedding of a guy that talks the way you do.
Yeah, I might not either.
You said you would.
Oh, quit your bawling before I smack you. Just butch up a little bit, huh? And quit talking some of that stuff you talk. I don't like it. You kick off a lot of this stuff, man. You know you do. Jesus.
Oh, go wipe your eyes, will you?
What a baby, man. What the hell? She's going to marry a guy like that? Anyway,
Ha ha, I was only kidding.
I'm going to kick your ass. So, back here on the planet Earth, speaking of the Mayan apocalypse and all that jazz, the beautiful thing about, as I've said many times, and people don't want to listen to me, man, but the great thing about history is it is the absolute roadmap. It tells us where we've been, and it tells us where we are going. And guess what happened 102 years ago as Halley's Comet was approaching? Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to tell me people started freaking out.
Oh, of course they did. We're human beings, aren't we? And guess what was supposed to happen? The end of the world. In 1910, the Earth was due to pass through the tail of Halley's Comet, sparking a public panic that apocalypse was coming. In case you haven't heard, by the way, folks, the world is supposed to end on Friday the 21st. That's the date that the Mayan long count calendar reads something, I don't know what it is. This is somehow snowballed into a full-blown doomsday prophecy. With the apocalypse involving, against all verifiable evidence, black holes, solar flares, previously unknown planets, and comets targeting Earth. Now, most of this stuff is created by people that love to see panic. Most of it's created by people that want to sell survival gear. And a lot of it is created by people that actually do far, far, far too much reading into the occult and have way too much time on their hands. People who have a tradition of sitting in rooms with books, thinking that that's a really noble thing to do, to read old manuscripts and to slowly let your mind rot. And they think that's noble and they're helping the world. And we sort of have that character in fiction, don't we? We have the character of the man working alone in a laboratory to save humankind. A man working alone in a library to come up with some answer that will save humankind. What we never really factor into any of that is the guy working alone in the laboratory, the guy working alone in his library is more likely to be a complete and utter mental deficient. I mean, he's lost it. All we need new, All we need to do these days is look at the internet.
What's that mean?
You got all kinds of jackasses sitting and reading into things on the internet and letting everyone know on message boards what they've found out, which is nothing. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And more on the Halley's Comet scare of 1910. The planet was going to be poisoned, among other things, by the tail of Halley's Comet. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Dean Wheeler is going to join us here in a moment. Dean from the Northern California Holistic Center, and we'll talk about a number of things. The biology of the human species. Talking about my sleep weirdness and the fact that I was eating sugar. But we also want to talk to Dean here about some of these doomsday prophecies and this article that we were trying to get to here. How it is that the human race deals with these ridiculous notions of doomsday and the end of the world. Halley's Comet was supposedly going to poison the planet Earth. That was the nonsense that was being written by a great many of these people who predicted the end of the world because of this comet passing by. Halley's Comet had not been... seen, and certainly had not been discussed for quite some time. So as the Earth was about to approach the tail of Halley's Comet in 1910, back in an age when telescopes were unable to track the comet around its 76-year orbit, the search for its return was reported by newspapers. The anticipation of a spectacular view as a result of the comet's calculated close passage to Earth turned to concern when astronomers realized that the Earth would pass through the comet's 25 million kilometer long tail. Then things got worse, much worse. I'm reading from a article in the New York Times. The technique of spectroscopy.
Oh boy, let me see it. Spectrotakapaka.
Well, whatever. The technique of spectroscopy. Why am I getting that?
Because you don't know how to say it good.
In any event, in which light is analyzed to show the composition of celestial objects, was brought to bear on Halley's Comet. And on the 7th of February, 1910, the Yerkes Observatory announced the discovery of cyanogen, a deadly poison in the comet's tail. Cyanogen. The New York Times reported that the French astronomer and author Camille Flammarion believed that, I'm not even pronouncing it right anymore, I don't care, I just want to get the, believed that the cyanogen would impregnate the atmosphere and possibly snuff out all life on the planet. 1910. Now, today we look back and we laugh, but what are we doing right now with this Mayan apocalypse thing? We're not panicking, but there are just enough people believing this garbage that they're going out and buying shelters. And, it's reinforced by people that have that religious fever, what I call religious fever, which is not just belief in God or belief in the Bible. Their perspective is warped. They're now in a sort of delirium. And what they do is they say, yes, Mayan doomsday. Well, they laughed at Noah, didn't they? That's when you really start to get crazy. That's when you really, really need help, when you start thinking that you're Noah and everybody else is nuts. See, the definition of insanity is you think you're okay, you think everybody else is crazy. That's, there's a nut out when that's what the guy thinks.
There's a nut out tonight.
That's right.
Yeah, very bright nut. What are you rubbing? Don't do that, bud, okay?
I just got to thinking.
Anyway, so they thought that this would snuff out life on the planet. In a somewhat misguided attempt to allay fears, the director of the Cambridge Observatory, Sir Robert S. Ball, quoted English astronomer doyen Sir John Herschel as saying that the whole comet can be squeezed into a suitcase. Herschel was probably seeking to emphasize the ephemeral nature of the comet's gaseous tail. Nevertheless, it produced a tongue-in-cheek rejoinder in the New York Times that he was clearly talking nonsense because he had failed to state who would do the packing. Very funny. So the entire comet can be put into a suitcase. What he meant was the entire gas body of the comet could be put into a suitcase, that which constitutes the gaseous portion of the physical nature of Halley's Comet could be put into a suitcase, meaning whatever this gas is, it isn't concentrated enough to hurt anybody on Earth. Well, that was taken by the New York Times and said, who would do the packing? Experience teaches that mighty little can be packed in a suitcase by any man. It takes a woman to pack one properly, said the paper. The lighthearted piece concluded that it would be better to leave the comet where it is in order for everyone to feel safer. Well, it didn't work. Concern among the public grew in the weeks leading to the Earth's 19th of May passage through the comet's tail. Charlatans sold comet pills that would supposedly protect against the effects of the poison. I'll bet you anything. I got money today that says, had there, those guys been around when Hale-Bopp came by. Remember Hale-Bopp?
Yeah, that's the one where the people cut off their genitals.
Who?
He's talking about it. He's talking about that stupid Heaven's Gate.
What do you mean, Heaven's Gate? Well, what was the one we were talking about, Dan? The one that you saw up there in Oregon and that I saw? Hale-Bopp, yeah. I'll bet you anything, if there was a guy around the time of Hale-Bopp, back, what was it, 1999, 1998? A guy around the time of Hale-Bopp selling comet pills, I'll bet you money that he would do a brisk business.
So you're saying that the people, basically our generation of people, were as, excuse me for using the word, were as gloidified or...
Yeah, they were gloid.
What gloidified?
We're idiots.
I'm saying that there are just enough idiots to keep a guy, nowadays, there's just enough idiots alive to keep a guy selling comet pills flush for a few months. I'm saying that guy would make he would do a brisk business.
Yeah, I believe that.
He'd do a brisk business. Look at these jackballs that are buying up things based on a calendar that nobody even knows how to read. No one even knows how to read it properly. I'm not saying that they don't know how to decipher the hieroglyphics or whatever it is, but they don't know what it means. And there are cats that are selling underground shelters. They're selling survival equipment. I'm telling you, it is a beautiful thing. That's why I regret it violently that I didn't actually... I don't know why I'm not smart. See, I'm just an idiot, you know.
Well, without saying anything I might regret, why do you think you're an idiot?
Because if I had any real brains, that's what I would have done. I would have said, oh, this is beautiful, man. I'm going to start selling survival equipment.
Yeah, but you'd be taking advantage of people.
So what if I'm taking advantage of people? What do you mean taking advantage of? You think I'm the guy that's going to go out there? This is something that I've learned in recent years. See, that's the old Phil. That's the guy that would go out there and say, people, my people, you know. Like Jim Jones, you know. Time to get gone, children. No, I would be the guy that would go out there and say, don't you understand? You're being fooled, you schmucks. Don't do it. Because that guy that we've seen throughout history, he never gets rewarded. No one ever gives a damn about him. That guy winds up getting trampled.
What are you talking about? People, they say he's good.
I think that individual, yes, is an individual that we long honor.
Really? Is that right?
Yes.
Why?
What happened to John the Baptist?
Oh.
What happened to him?
They stuck his head on a platter. That's what happened to him. Okay.
Yeah, but John the Baptist, he wasn't saying anything bad's coming. He's saying something good's coming.
What difference does it make with the head cut off? That's a reference to the other night in the Lemmings bit. Now then.
Very good.
Thanks. So, I would have been that guy. But nowadays, now that I know better, I would have said, wow, Hale-Bopp's coming, or the Mayan apocalypse is coming. You guys come to Phil's Supplies right here. We just opened up here. You know, I can afford the rent. You get it there someplace where there's a lot of people just freaking out. Somewhere rural. I'm sorry, but you know.
Well, I can see that. Phil's Supplies, what do you have? Like just Farmer in the Dell? Someone you have American Gothic? I mean, what does it look like? Where is it? What kind of lease? Let's talk turkey.
Oh, yeah. So what, do you want a piece of the business?
I wouldn't mind. Did I sweep up?
In any event, So I'd have Phil's supplies. You can come in. Well, yeah. And everybody that would come in freaked out about the Mayan doomsday, I'd say, yes, Mrs. Brown, you never can tell. Well, you know, Phil, I don't really go in for that sort of thing, but I thought I'd get my bottled water just in case, and you're always very kind. Oh, yes, ma'am.
So you'd take advantage of the old ladies, huh?
That's exactly what I would have done. Exactly. You want to know why? Because there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? They don't need it. It's not like it's Hurricane Andrew or Katrina or any natural disaster. It's not like I'm, jacking the price on something that's vitally needed by people. I'm taking advantage of idiots. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's something very cruel about it.
Oh, get out of here with that cruel. Cruel is when you jack the price on plywood and drinking water when there's a hurricane, when there's a natural disaster. That's cruel. Not only cruel, it's illegal. But it is not cruel to say to some dimbulb, hey, the Mayan apocalypse is coming. Do you have your bomb shelter yet? No, I don't. Well, come on over here and buy mine, man. This thing's beautiful. Look at this, huh?
And what if... Well,
No. Don't give me the what if. Because if the what if happens, I'm dead anyway, and I'm cooking in hell, and you can all be happy. You know.
You know as well as I do, Phil, that that's very, very... That is not much comfort, because I won't be in hell to watch you burn. You see, we talk about these people that we want to see cook in hell, but it's not satisfying. It doesn't get the job done.
Yeah, honestly, I agree with that. Because I want to be in hell, and I want to see that guy roasted on a spit.
Well, unfortunately, it's...
You can commit suicide and go to hell and then see it.
How am I going to get back?
Well?
Yeah, I see the point.
Can't believe you people, man.
What are you talking about?
How is it I'm going to get to hell to watch a guy cooking on a spit? Hey, let's just comfort ourselves with this. The guy ain't around anymore. And when it comes to a guy like Phil Hendry, if I'm selling supplies for whatever the hell it is, you know, I'm selling supplies for whatever the hell it is, man. I don't think I should be the guy that gets, you know, I don't think I should be the guy that is indicted for cruelty because I'm selling a bomb shelter or bottled water or comet pills to a jackass. Give me a break. All right, 877-876-7445. General Galen Shaw will be joining us to talk a little bit more about this idea of survival. What is a survivalist? What should we be surviving? Who should we be laughing at? Who should we be clapping on the back as a harbinger of good tidings, or at least a fair warning? Was John the Baptist's head really served al dente? Or, you know, all that stuff. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth al dente was the guy
bitch.
That drove...
The Phil OJ. Hendry Show.
That was A.J. Collins.
No, al dente
drove O.J.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Dean Wheeler on the line with us here from... Northern California, Dean, I know that you're right now in San Francisco, I think, at the Clayton Inn, right?
We are, Phil, and MOL is on stage right now, but I'm very, very happy to talk with you because I haven't had an opportunity to congratulate you on so many different projects that you have going on.
Thank you, Dean. I know I want to talk with you about your views on the Mayan apocalypse and doomsday, but I just saw an article here that makes me sick to my stomach, and it's an article, and I don't know why it is... In our country, we have any resistance to fighting the Taliban. Why the war in Afghanistan to some people is a meaningless war. The Taliban just killed six people in a province, I believe, of Pakistan because they are polio workers. They work to immunize, to inoculate people against polio. It is a longstanding belief among many of the corrupt and criminal Muslim imams and terrorists in that part of the world that polio workers are actually, they don't believe this, but they're telling the poor people there that in being injected with the polio vaccine, you're actually, it's actually trying to kill Muslims. In other words, they're playing on the fears and the paranoias of the people there. This is what and they went in, Taliban gunmen went in to a vaccination center and murdered people that were giving out the polio vaccine. This is insanity. This is a bunch of people that should be exterminated from the face of the earth. They helped kill 3,000 Americans on 9/11 by sheltering Al-Qaeda. They've and so that right there gives us a personal fight. It gives us a personal stake in the fight. I don't give a damn what anybody says. That should give us a personal stake in the fight and what happens to Afghanistan. And now they're over there murdering World Health Organization people, UNICEF people, whoever, who are trying to vaccinate people in a region of the world, the last region of the world, folks, where polio still exists, where it still exists, where they do have cases of polio. India, Pakistan, these parts of the world, and those individuals are... Yeah, thank you for cutting that off, because I'll get to Dean here in a minute. And these individuals are... These Taliban are targeting people that are trying to immunize people against polio, murdering them, and telling the local people, no, they're just injecting you with a poison that's going to kill and sterilize the men and kill off the ability of the women to have babies, and we won't have any more Muslims. This is what the West is doing. This is the Taliban. This is if this is an evil, there is nothing on this earth that's evil. They represent the 15th century. They represent everything that's bad about religion. They represent everything that's bad about the human race. They're stupid. They're murderous. They're the worst kind of stupid. They think they're geniuses. They think that they're God's gift to the planet. They hate women. They hate culture. They hate the hell out of history and other religions. Look at what they did to the Buddhist monuments, ancient Buddhist monuments in Afghanistan, destroyed antiquities that was history's gift to the present generation. And we learned something about the travels of Buddhists as well as Muslims during that period. They destroyed that. That's the kind of destructive, disgusting, despicable bastards they are. And we're sitting here. We don't want to fight them. All right, let me get back here to Dean Wheeler. Dean, what are you shaking your head for, Margaret?
This is exactly what you said you weren't going to do, and now you're being political again. And you saw that man's comment on your Facebook page. He said he was glad to be listening to you again because you were no longer talking about George Bush.
That ass said that not because he was listening to the show, because he wanted to slam me. Dean?
Well, Phil, I've got to agree with Margaret. Yeah, hold on for a minute. Emerald's on stage right now. I have to agree with Margaret, though, that the little speech you just gave there has probably murdered, and I mean murdered in the spiritual, in the entertainment sense, murdered and carved up far more people than the Taliban ever could. And so how does that make you feel? Did you get me what he's having? What is that?
That's Knob Creek.
Give me a Knob Creek and water. A water back. Phil...
Are we going to be listening to you tonight, or is it
what?
Am I listening to your wife again?
Well, that's very rude.
Yeah, that was extremely rude. Why?
I'm not, no, I want to listen to your wife, but I want to talk to you. Which am I doing?
You're talking to me, except I've got to keep an eye on this band. I told you. Wait, are you listening to that?
I'm listening to your wife singing.
Yeah, no, but do you hear the horn? See the horn? What did I tell this guy? Yeah, if that guy doesn't stop using...
What do you suspect?
Well, first, you don't know good horn playing. Did you hear that guy? If he isn't nodding off up there, even as he's trying to get his lips around that thing... And the last person I said that to, Phil, was my wife, Emerelda, when we were getting along. I said, you're nodding off.
Yeah.
As you're trying to get...
Never mind.
Well, I'm sorry. I know we're on the air. Phil, you are speaking like a right-winger, and you're talking all of this claptrap.
Well, like, I want to get Galen Shaw in here, too, because we promised he is a survivalist.
Well, wait a second. What do you mean, Galen Shaw? I'm talking. Margaret's here.
He happens to have a decidedly different opinion from you guys, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, I'm going to be... I'll stay on the line with you.
Fine.
But I'm also going to be listening to Emerelda, if it's all right.
You can listen to Emerelda, but if I have a question...
Oh, that horn player, I'm going to gut him. I'm going to gut him like a steer.
You know, maybe you want to get off the line and deal with the horn player once and for all.
No, he's a terrific guy, and he scores.
He scores.
He scores, Emerelda. I can't tell you right now.
Emerelda is using some medications that her doctor has stopped prescribing, but she needs them.
And so the horn player knows where to get it. Let's get... Talk about disgusted.
I'll get off your high horse, Phil. I'm a husband and a father just trying to get by.
Let's get General Galen Shaw. General Shaw, I'm sorry to belch in your ear. How are you doing?
Well, Phil, I've been better. I'm listening to this nonsense on your program here from this man who thinks that drug pushing is... I don't think anything of the sort, General. I'm simply saying I have a wife that I love, and she has to get on a bandstand every night, and she's got to put her best foot forward, and I got to make sure that when she puts her best foot forward, she doesn't fall into the first row of tables. I heard what you said, sir, and I can hear your wife singing. She sounds she sounds good, and I don't think she needs you and that horn player pushing whatever drug she's taking. It sounds like Percocet, but it's not my place. As a matter of fact, it is. And
all right, well, thank you very much. General Shaw, how are you?
And who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry, the host of the show.
Oh, Phil, yes. I'm doing very well.
All right. I want to ask you about the doomsday situation, the Mayans, and the survivalist thing. What do you recommend to people? I know that you're close to the survivalist community. You've been close to a great many in the militia movement. They trust you. What are you telling them?
Well, Phil, I can tell you that the last one that I spoke to was J.T. Kirkpatrick, who was a member of the Jericho Group. And as you know, they tunneled under a silver mountain in Nevada, and it is there that they made their stand. Until they got hungry and they came out 2 weeks later, they were reported at a Taco Bell or Slim Jim's. Or so. Are we?
We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right.
Phil Hendry.